KEHE is impartial and assumes no responsibility nor liability for statements made in the following program. The People's Voice comes to you four times daily, 9:30 a.m., 12:30 noon, 7 and 11 p.m. It is compiled under the direction of Clifford E. Clinton. And now you hear the voice of Mr. Clinton's son, Edmund.
Dad, I wish you'd take on our invisible opponent. Of all the terrible things he says, why, I know they're not true.
Well, we will in time, Ed. Perhaps we can fit it into this program after the interviews. We have some interesting questions, I see. We have a lot of folks here, too.
And so Ernest Chamberlain will start the 1192nd broadcast by interviewing briefly council candidate Harold Harvey from the 11th District.
Mr. Harvey, a citizen writes in to ask you to declare yourself on the matter of public contracts and also asks, was Councilman McAllister one of those who voted to award the ballot printing contract to the Times Mirror Company without asking for bids as required by the city charter?
I will never vote to award a contract for public work without following the charter provision requiring advertising for bids. I condemn the subterfuge of claiming that a printing contract is an expert service on which only one Los Angeles printer is qualified to bid. Councilman McAllister was one of those who voted this special privilege to the Times Mirror Company. I noticed that the Times rewards McAllister by giving him credit for all the WPA work done in the district, a credit which rightfully belongs to President Roosevelt.
Ah, but how about the city work that I understand is booming in your district at the present time?
I deserve half the credit for that. I advertised the old fishing holes in the streets of Mar Vista and Barnes City, which have been landmarks for many years. That brought down a traffic jam of city trucks, graders, surveyors, and laborers. We can say of our councilman as we say of the little boy before Christmas. Just before election, he's as good as he can be. But the people out here are not going to be fooled. I refer you to Mr. M.L. Williams, a resident of my district, whose case gives a concrete example of city neglect of our needs. Perhaps if we call attention to Mr. Williams' plight, he will find the Public Works Department in his backyard by daybreak.
All right. What about Mr. Williams?
I live at 2504 Kelton Avenue off Pico Boulevard, a small ditch. Formerly drained surface water back in my lot. It was about 15 feet wide. After the flood last year, it became about 150 feet wide, undermined a neighbor's garage, and came to the back of my lot. Repeated complaints have failed to induce Councilman McAllister even to come and look at it. Another good rain will destroy my barbecue pit and about half of my property, as well as neighboring property. I'm going to vote for Mr. Harvey to get some action.
Just one example. The last flood nearly washed Mar Vista into the ocean. Palms and sections of West Los Angeles are in revolt. Venice wants to secede. Barnes City streets are terrible. Since the Harry Chandler estate is being developed, we are finally getting action on the long-neglected gap in Jefferson Boulevard. This and the printing contract will explain the time support for the councilman and also explain Mr. Williams' support for myself.
What about the close-in end of your district, Harvey?
No playgrounds. They've complained of flood drainage from Cheviot Hills for 6 years, and the only answer people get is that they were foolish to build homes there.
And transportation?
Car fare costs from 15 to 30 cents to get downtown. And there's not a fire alarm box in 2 miles of my home. A police radio car may be glimpsed once a month, if we're on the lookout. Our district is known as the Sticks, and we're sick of it. Venice has the only city's only beach, and it should be developed. The Venice Speedway is not even a dignified alley, a laughingstock for tourists. We're going to make April the 4th Independence Day for the 11th District.
And we hope for for many districts, too, Mr. Harvey. We know Mr. Harvey to be one of the livest firecrackers down in the 11th District. And now Mr. Chamberlain has a few questions for Jack Berman, candidate from the 9th District.
Berman, you're accused of being a tough guy, importing strong-arm men in your former campaign, particularly a person called Pork Chops.
Mr. Chamberlain, I wish you could see that strong-arm man. He stands 5'1" in his stocking feet. Built on a roly-poly order. But he has a flair for oratory, which makes him a strong lung man rather than a strong arm man. He was on our Speaker's Bureau in that campaign. He came here to aid Upton Sinclair in the epic drive, and remained to assist me as a campaign speaker. He is not in California now. His wife is a postmistress at Clayton, New Mexico. He is a poor man's friend who takes his politics seriously and conscientiously. I only hope to have the support of many such ardent workers.
And now you're charged with being unfair to organized labor. I hand you the name of a theater on labor's unfair list. Do you have anything to do with that theater?
No, if that were true, I would not have the endorsement of several labor unions. I have no interest whatsoever in that theater. I want to read a letter I have here sent by the business agent of Motion Picture Projectionist Local Number 150 to the Central Labor Council, and it is dated March 8, 1939. I quote, "Mr. Jack Berman is a candidate for city council. We advise you that he employs members of this local in the theaters operated by him. He has employed our members for a good many years, and anything we can do to show that he is worthy of the support of organized labor would be emphasized by the foregoing," unquote. While the Trades Council is making no endorsement in my district, I had their endorsement in my former campaign, and would certainly have had their opposition now if I had ever been unfair or unfriendly to labor.
Thank you, Jack Y. Berman. And now it's a great pleasure to introduce to you Miss Mary Workman, who is following the tradition of a family long noted for its contributions of civic decency and service to Los Angeles. She will speak briefly in behalf of the candidacy of Dr. Arthur E. Briggs, council candidate from the 5th District. Miss Workman.
Fellow citizens, and especially in the 5th Councilmanic District. The issue in the Councilmanic election is whether we wish to tie the hands of Mayor Bowron by electing obstructionist councilmen, or whether we wish to elect councilmen who will cooperate with the mayor in his effort to carry out the wishes of the people. If we approve of Mayor Bowron's sincerity and accomplishment, we will vote to replace a Bowron blocker with a Bowron backer in the 5th District. Mayor Bowron has told us that he cannot accomplish what is expected of him in establishing clean government, a fair deal to all, with the council as it is now constituted. Specifically, he asked for the defeat of the councilman from my district, the 5th District. As I work to elect Mayor Bowron, I am now working to elect Dr. Arthur E. Briggs from the 5th District, whose record and declarations are in harmony with the things Mayor Bowron proposes to do, in harmony with the public sentiment of Los Angeles, which is overwhelmingly on the side of the mayor and the good government forces.
And thank you, Miss Mary Workman. And now it is our privilege to present Mr. Nathan Newby, an eminent attorney and another of Los Angeles' well-known and beloved civic leaders, who is serving as chairman of Dr. Briggs' campaign committee. Mr. Nathan Newby.
I accepted the position as chairman of the campaign committee of Dr. Arthur E. Briggs because of the high respect and sincere admiration with which I regard him as a public servant, as a citizen, and as a man. I have in the past constantly refused to act as chairman or member of campaign committees for candidates. But what good citizen could refuse to volunteer a service so small to one whose services to the city of Los Angeles have for a quarter of a century been so willingly and freely given? Add up the dollars which Dr. Briggs has saved to the taxpayers through the efforts in the past, and there is no thoughtful citizen who would not realize that an effort to place such a man in the city council is not only an act of simple patriotism, but also a public service of the type that Los Angeles has a right to expect of every citizen. I hope and pray that the voters of the 5th District will join me on April 4th in a ballot box tribute to Dr. Briggs, which will be commensurate with his services to the people. In such an event, his election is assured.
Thank you, Nathan Newby. Dr. Briggs' character and qualifications and fitness for office are unchallenged in his district. Similarly, there seems to be a generally unanimous agreement upon the unfitness of the incumbent councilman. The only issue in the 5th District is the despairing, rallying cry that Dr. Briggs is too radical. I know of no two persons in Los Angeles whose sponsorship of any candidate would go further to refute this charge than Mary Workman and Attorney Nathan Newby, for whose integrity, patriotism, and civic service the people of Los Angeles have only the highest admiration and respect.
Friends, our invisible opponent who follows us each evening on another station at 7:15 is difficult to please.
We have endeavored to humor him, and we are told we lack a sense of humor. When he shakes the heavens with thunder, we smile at the memory of the nursery tale of Chicken Little, who announced that the heavens were falling when a leaf fell on her head. We find it more difficult than he to act out a role which does not suit our character. But we have urged our listeners to attend his performance. We have answered his impolite accusations. Only a bully resorts to threats. Only a coward would yield to them. Night after night, you have heard the sneers, insinuation, and dares. And he still says,
Clinton can't take it.
Remember the night when the invisible voice said,
when you shoot an arrow into a pigsty, you can always tell the pig you hit by the squeal. Clifford Clinton has been snapping his tongue loosely against everything and everyone which has met with his displeasure. So arrogant and overbearing has he become that he has stopped at nothing, not even to consider the facts with his spleen when his spleen must be vented.
This sort of merry pleasantry, intoned in such a rollicking tone of voice, has in fact set my long-forgotten funny bone to vibrating. But unfortunately, my family and friends and business associates have been made ill. I have welcomed this sort of opposition as adding fuel to the fire of good citizenship. I have even been accused of sponsoring this program to provide Civic with a straw man as an opponent. A house which cannot stand against such a wind is not worthy to endure. Personally, I have enjoyed it, until he interrupted my enjoyment the other night by challenging my sense of humor. That aroused my resentment, so I decided to see exactly how much wit and humor the opposition has in his own makeup. When the invisible opposition lays aside its pretense and finally makes an open attack on Mayor Barron, I find the tide of my humor ebbing solely from my soul. The invisible opposition has openly defied us.
The station on which he speaks will not grant us an opportunity even to look at his copy to feed our sense of the ridiculous without a court order. The radio station's attorneys were as humorless as Mr. McClanahan's secretary. If we didn't like it, we could go to court.
We don't like to do this. We have no animosity for Mr. McClanahan or anyone else. And anyone can imagine how enjoyable we find the torrent of flattery by which the invisible opposition fortifies our civic determination. But since he will not be convinced of my compliant mood in any other way, I am going to indulge him further. I am going to act as if I had no humor in my soul and ask him to prove his statements in open court, where all the world may hear not only that, but also see the invisible voice of the opposition. He has often intimated he feared to go into court, that we feared to go into court and face the possibility of having charges proved against us. And so we fear the comedy must close as the melodrama begins. We not only welcome open examination at any time, but we are going to do our best to keep a straight face while the courts of the land bring you the whole truth of the invisible voice in a forum where it will be no longer anonymous. Today, our attorney, A. Brigham Rose, who also has little sense of humor, filed a libel action against Mr. McClanahan, station KFAC, the invisible voice, and several John Does who have been helping Los Angeles speak.
A review of Civic's candidates for the city council.
The first district.
Delamere Francis McCloskey.
Second.
Norris J. Nelson.
Third.
Stephen Cunningham.
Fourth.
Robert L. Burns.
Fifth.
Arthur E. Briggs.
Sixth.
Chalene V. Eckerson.
Seventh.
Carl C. Rasmussen.
Eighth.
Evan Lewis.
Ninth.
Jack Y. Berman.
Tenth.
G. Vernon Bennett.
11th.
Harold Harvey.
12th.
Ralph H. Gray.
13th.
Roy Hampton.
14th.
George Knox Roth.
15th.
Wilder W. Hartley.
And for the Board of Education.
Lawrence L. Larrabee, Leah Lovell, Elizabeth McManus, and John L. Bogue.
Now, one short announcement. Dr. Arthur E. Briggs, candidate for council from the 5th District, will speak Friday evening at a meeting to be held at the 6th Avenue School, 6th Avenue and Jefferson Boulevard at 8 p.m. under the auspices of the 63rd Assembly District Democratic Club.